wife. Oh. She usually, you can put them in the back. On the back table there, Kim will put the chapter and verse. If you want one, you can pick one up. Also, for those of you that we were not able to get in contact with after fellowship this morning, if you'd like to stay for lunch, we'll serve lunch immediately after fellowship. And we'd love to have you here to enjoy a meal with us and fellowship with one another. Okay? Good. Well, let's go back to the book of Judges, chapter 3. We went there last week, and Thursday night we looked at a record of a Levite, and we saw how one tribe in Israel, because of their defiance to God's word and their refusal to obey God, was reduced to 600 people, from tens of thousands of people to 600 people. And it was all because they wanted to protect the homosexual Israelites, and they would not give them up for judgment. Now, the book of Judges, I told you, covers approximately 350 years of one reoccurring subject. And that reoccurring subject is the disobedience and then the repentance of Israel. But the repentance is never far-lived. It's for a little bit, and then they go right back into their evil ways. Now, there's different views on the book of Judges with regards to who exactly is a judge. The numbers vary between 11 and 15. From what I've been able to work out of the Word of God, and I'm going to mark them as God's judges, I've been able to see 12 in the book of Judges. If you're in chapter 3, you can go to verse 7. We read this last week. It said, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forget the Lord their God," they forgot him, "and they served Baalim and the groves." And I explained to you that phrase, "did evil in the sight of the Lord," was a Hebrew idiom, which not, because God sees everything. What it meant was they did it right out in open, in public, in plain view. They didn't hide when they were doing it. They did it in plain view for not only God to see, but everybody else to see. I explained to you that Baalim was the male of the pagan gods, and the groves were indicative of Ashtaroth, who was the female of the pagan gods, some of them that they were worshiping. There is a verse in Genesis 4, hold your fingers here, that I do want to show you. The last verse, chapter 4, verse 26. Eve has another baby, and her name is, his name is Seth. And in verse 26, the verse says, "And to Seth, to him also there was a son born, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Now that, on its surface, you can see there's something wrong there, because men had been calling upon the name of the Lord way before this. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, they made sacrifices, this sort of thing. Bollinger does a wonderful work in this, and in his note it says that they began to call other gods by the name of Jehovah. And that's exactly what that verse means. They began to call other gods by the name of Jehovah. So just because you call another god by the name of Jehovah doesn't mean that it's Jehovah. This is what happened in the book of Judges. I explained that to you. Well, verse 8 of chapter 3 in Judges, because people were not serving the one true God, because they were bowing down to idols, because they were praying to idols, because they were worshiping these things, which God, by the way, in the very Ten Commandments that he spoke, says, thou shalt not have any gods before me. Don't make a god of wood. Don't make a god of stone. Don't do this and don't pray to them. God said this. But the children of Israel somehow sanctified it and said, oh, it's okay to do this. Well, in God's opinion, it wasn't okay. And when the children of Israel, or verse 8, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served that guy there, king of Mesopotamia, 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, came upon Othniel, and he judged Israel, and he went out to war, and the Lord delivered the king of Mesopotamia into his hands, and he prevailed against him. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So, it says that the land had rest for 40 years. I'm going to help you out here and do some chronology with you as far as years go. So Othniel was the first judge of Israel. Othniel was the first judge of Israel. And according to the word of God, it says that the land had rest for 40 years. Now, in verse 12, here we're going to see, you will remember I said it had one distinct reoccurring subject. That was Israel was repenting, then Israel went back to evil. Then Israel repented, then Israel went back to evil. Judges chapter 3, verse 12. In Judges 3, 7 through 9, we read that they did evil. They got themselves in trouble. They said, oh God. God raised up a deliverer. His name was Othniel. He delivered them. The land had rest for 40 years. And it says that Othniel died in verse 11. Verse 12, and the children of Israel continue in the good ways that Othniel taught them. No, doesn't say that. It says, and the children of Israel did evil what? Again in the sight of the Lord. They did evil again. So the children of Israel, verse 14, served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. So at first it was 8 years with Othniel. Now they're in bondage for 18 years to the king of Moab. They finally get their heads out of their butts. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehu, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a left-hand man. Now, Ehu is Israel's second judge. And you will find that Ehu judges Israel for 80 years in Judges 3:30. Ehu judges Israel for 80 years. So the second judge now you got is Ehu, and he judges Israel for 80 years. Okay? Now in Judges chapter 3, let's go to that verse and let me show you something, because here's where one of these discrepancies come up about who's judge and who's not judge. In chapter 3, and in verse 30, it says, so Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. A score is 20, and 4 is 4. 4 times 20 is 80. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Now, some people list Shamgar as a judge, okay? But from what I've been able to work, he is just mentioned here as a contemporary and not a judge with Ehu. And one of the reasons for that is in chapter 4, verse 1, where it lists about Shamgar and what he did. It says, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when who? Ehud was dead. So it follows from Othniel to Ehud to the children of Israel did evil to, it wouldn't, didn't say Shamgar, it said Ehud. That's why I'm not including him in the judge period here. He was a great man. He was in the Bible. He's got his name mentioned, but I don't believe he judged. I believe he was a contemporary of Ehud. Look at verse 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She judged Israel at that time. By the way, the word Othniel means lion of God. The word Ehud means I will give thanks. The word Deborah means bee. So the word speaks of Deborah as Israel's third judge, and you will find that Deborah judged Israel for 40 years. For 40 years. So she's the third judge, and she judged Israel for 40 years. Look at Judges chapter 6. So they were good and obeying Deborah, and Deborah dies. And in chapter 6 of Judges, verse 1, and the children of Israel did what?
Evil
in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of who? Midian 7 years. See the cycle? Up and down, up and down, up and down. You figure they learn, but they didn't. Judges verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 14 says, and the Lord looked upon him, this is Gideon, and said, go this in thy might, that thou may save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? So here we're talking about Gideon. Gideon was Israel's fourth judge. The word Gideon means hewer, someone who cuts things down. And you will see that under Gideon's ministry, his administration, that Israel had rest for another 40 years. So, Gideon was the fourth judge. Othniel, Ehud, Deborah, Gideon. And that's on the right is the period of time that they judged, and Israel had rest. Judges chapter 8. And it came to pass, verse 33, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel walked in the ways of Gideon. Now, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. So what are they doing? They're back in their cycle of defeat again. They're back in their cycle of idolatry. You know, this week, I think it was Monday, it was National Groundhog Day. Right? Wednesday? This week. And Groundhog's Day is when the most world-famous groundhog in the world, who happens to live here in Pennsylvania, Punxsutawney Phil, comes out and he sees his shadow. He doesn't see his shadow. And this is a cycle that gets repeated every year, over and over and over again, and everybody looks forward to it. As a matter of fact, Bill Murray made a movie called Groundhog's Day. And it's a movie where he repeats the same day over and over and over and over again. He tries to get it right. Israel was stuck in groundhog mode, right? The book of Judges shows Israel's Groundhog Day for years and years and years. They just couldn't get it right. It was over and over and over again. Verse 33 of Judges 8 says, and it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and they did bad. Verse 1 of chapter 10. Now there's an interlude. There's a son of Gideon who is self-proclaimed leader. He rules for about 3 years, but he's not a man of God, because one of the things he does at the beginning of the onset of his rule is he gets his 70 brothers together, and the word of God says he slew them on one stone. Only one of them got away, Jothan. Now, when the word of God says he slew them on one stone, He didn't go and shoot them here, there, and yonder. He gathered them together. He brought them to one place, and he sacrificed them to his pagan god on that stone. That's what that means when it says he slew them on one stone. And his name was Abimelech. Now, this is the guy it's talking about in Judges 10:1. Now, we're not listing Abimelech as one of God's judges because he was evil. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, or Dudo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelled in Shamar in Mount Ephraim, and he judged Israel 23 years, and he died and he was buried in Shamar. So now we have Tola, and we see that he judged Israel for how long? Okay, so he's Israel's fifth judge, and he judged Israel for 23 years. The word Tola means worm, W-O-R-M, worm. Why? I do not know. Now look at verse 3 of Judges 10. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and he judged Israel 22 years. So now we got Israel's sixth judge. And according to the scripture, it says that he judged Israel how long? 22 years. Now, some of these guys and judges, it's remarkable because in my Libronics program, it's a Bible program. In my Libronics program, it lists out the number of verses that are given with regards to each specific judge, which is very interesting to me because you'll see that some judges get a whole bunch of verses written about them, a whole bunch, and then you see some judges get one or two verses written about it. And there's a reason for that. I'm not going to share that with you now, but it's interesting. See this guy here, after him arose Jair, verse 3 of chapter 10, and he judged Israel 22 years. Then look at verse 5. And Jair died and was buried in Cammon. So there it was about him. But the word gives us enough information to tell us that he was a judge because it's specific. Verse 6, Groundhog Day. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines and forsook the Lord and served him not. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Judges chapter 12. Judges 12 lists the next judge who God rose up to judge Israel. And in verse 7 it says, and Jephthah judged Israel for how many years? 6 years. Judges 12:7. So we're going to put a 7 over here. And he's the seventh judge, and he judged Israel for 6 years. For 6 years. The word Jair means he enlightened. The word Jephthah means he opened. Look at verse 8 of chapter 12. And after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. Ibzan. The word Ibzan means their whiteness, their whiteness. He was the eighth judge of Israel, and if you read the record, you'll see that he judged Israel for 7 years. So, judged Israel for 7 years. Jephthah, Ibzan, verse 11 of Judges 12. After him, after Ibzan, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel. And he judged Israel for how long? Elon, Elon. It's E-L. El Shaddai, Elon, mighty. And that's exactly what Elon means, because the prefix E-L means mighty. Elon means mighty. He was Israel's ninth judge, and he judged Israel for what? 10 years. Okay. Now, verse 13, and after him, Abdon, And Abdon judged Israel. 12:13, Judges 12:13, you see it? The word Abdon means service. He was Israel's 10th judge. And if you work the record, you'll see that he judged Israel for 8 years. So he was a 10th judge, and he judged Israel for 8 years. Okay? So, this is what you got. You got Othniel, that was Israel's first judge, and he judged for 40 years. You got Ehud, and he was Israel's second judge, and he judged for 80 years. You got Deborah, and she was Israel's third judge, and she judged for 40 years. You got Gideon. Gideon was Israel's fourth judge, and he judged for 40 years. You got Tola, not to be confused with Trola, and he judged Israel for 23 years. You got Jair, and he judged Israel for 22 years. The seventh judge was Jephthah. He judged Israel for 6 years. The eighth judge was Zan, and he judged Israel for 7 years. The ninth judge was Elon, and he judged Israel for 10 years. And Abdon was the 10th judge of Israel, and he judged Israel for 8 years. 8 years, okay? Now look at Judges 13, verse 1. Judges 13, 1. And we're still dealing with Israel stuck in what? Groundhog Day. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. See it? They can't figure it out. And you know why this is? Because the word really never got into their hearts. It's real easy when there's someone who's real spectacular and real on fire for God just to get behind him and hide behind his believing. But, you know, Joshua and the heart of God, when Joshua got those people together and he addressed them all and he said, "This stone is a witness to you," you know what he said? He got them to enter into a covenant with God. And then what did the word say? It said he sent them home to their own inheritance so they could teach their children the word of God. It was their responsibility to then teach their children the word of God. There were tribal judges and there were Levites and there were festivals. I understand all that. But the people, it was so much easier just to go there and listen to Joshua and then go home and be mindless about doing anything with God's word. And it's still the same way today. That's what religion is. Religion is when you hoard a bunch of people into a group, into a room, and it could be even this room, and they listen to the minister, and they walk out the door, and they never change their life. They never show compassion to their fellow man. They never show love to their family. They never show fidelity in their marriage. They never show goodness to their fellow brothers and sisters. They never call one another outside of this room to see how we're doing. Come on over for something to eat. Can we fellowship together? How you doing? None of that. They just want to come. They want to hear the minister, and they figure they can hide behind the minister and hide behind his shirt tails, and everything's okay because they show up and the minister is doing the word of God. That is not the word of God. Joshua gathered the people. He confronted the people. He said, "You can't serve God. He's a jealous God." They said, "Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. We'll take a covenant." He said, "This rock's a witness against you." He said, "Yes, we will." And not too later on, far after that, what happened? They did Israel in the sight of the Lord. You got to get this. It's not about me. It's not about the priest. It's not about a minister. It's about you. Being a believer, loving God, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, having a personal relationship with Him in your own life. That's what it's about. And if you miss that, you miss everything. This is why Israel kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know what Israel should have did? This is what Israel should have did. When somebody started to build an Ashtaroth pole like Gideon's dad or a stone altar to worship Baal like Gideon's dad, you know what they should have did? "What the hell are you doing? Are you out of your mind? Do you want to bring evil upon us?" But instead, when Gideon wrecked the altar, offered unto the true God, ripped down the pole by which he used to burn the true God sacrifice, you know what the men of the city did the next day? Who did this? Who ripped down Baal's altar? They were ready to defend Baal and kill Gideon for ripping down Baal's altar. Now, I read to you about the Levite who cut his concubine up in 12 pieces because the men of Israel, the homosexuals, took her, raped her all night, and killed her. And when they went to that tribe, what did that tribe say? We ain't giving them up. And that tribe was reduced to 600 people. 600 people. You want to talk about getting away? Getting away? They were willing to lose all those people to defend that homosexual people that raped them and committed that crime. See? Because they didn't make the word their own. See, when you make the word your own, you can confront one another. Iron sharpeneth iron. But Israel failed to make the word their own. Failed to make the word their own. Judges 13, verse 1, Groundhog Day. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, fine, be idiots. Go into the hands of the Philistines. You know, when they got set into the hands of slavery, you understand? The people who oppressed them, they just didn't receive taxes of them. You got it? They walked in, they kicked down the door, they saw a young girl there, 13, 14 years old. You know what they did? They took her out and they raped her. When they were done, if they didn't want her no more, they threw her back. That's what happened. This is the kind of oppression that Israel is going through. They saw their young men there, 10, 12 years old, put a rope around his neck, pulled him back, says, you're going to be our slave. You'll never see him again, mommy and daddy. This is the kind of oppression. But Israel kept going into slavery, because they kept disobeying God. And I want you to note that the reason that they went into slavery and into bondage was because they disobeyed God and they turned their back on God. Judges chapter 13, verse 24. There was a woman, she bare a son, and she called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now we got a story of Samson. Samson was Israel's 11th judge, and Samson judged Israel for 20 years. 2 minutes on Samson. A lion came out against Samson. He was eating a cheeseburger. Lion wanted some of that. Samson, get away. Lion didn't say, no, I'm going to kill you, lion said. You know what Samson did? He took the lion and he ripped it pieces with his bare hands. With his bare hands. He was in one of the capital cities of the Philistines one time. They always going to get him. He got up in the middle of the night. You know what he did? He went to the gate where the doors were. These doors weighed a couple tons. He took the doors, grabbed them, ripped them off the gate, hinges and all, put them on his back and carried them away. It says that he gave forth a riddle one time. They cheated to guess the riddle. He went into one of the capital cities again. He didn't go to some obscure place. He went into one of the capital cities again. There were five capital cities of Philistines. And he killed 30 men and took their garments and gave them to pay his debt. So he goes and he hangs down in a cave. And his brethren, you know, I don't know if it's Judah or not, but his brethren come to him and say, what the hell are you doing? Why are you causing all this trouble for us? Don't you know that we are the Philistine servants? You're going to get us in trouble. Now, can you imagine that? You want to talk about a spirit of fear and how it makes a person cowardly? They didn't want to make any waves. They didn't want to shake up anything. And they said, they were more willing to have their young women raped, their young men stolen and beaten, their own wives raped at any time when the Philistine felt like it, their crops stolen, their animals stolen, them to be oppressed, thrown out of their towns, to be treated like slaves. They were more willing to go through that than to get behind this man of God and turn on the Philistines. Now, you saw somebody with the tremendous strength that Samson had. Don't you think that Israel should have rallied around this man and says, we can well beat them? But no. You know what they said instead? They came down to the cave where Samson was hanging out. And this is what they said to Samson. You're a troublemaker. We're their slaves. You can't be doing this. You're ruining things for us. We've come to bind you. There was 3,000 of them. And Samson says, just promise that you won't kill me when I let you bind me. So they said, we promise. We're just going to give you in the hands of the Philistines. Instead of rallying, this is how cowards are. This is what a spirit of fear does. This is what a spirit of fear does. It stops you from being able to move forward with the things of God. Samson was the only one in Israel doing anything about the bondage. But nobody wanted to get behind Samson. Nobody. Not even his family wanted to get behind Samson. Nobody wanted to get behind Samson. But Samson just continued the best he could doing what he could do. They tie him up. They bring him out to the Philistines. And they give him to the Philistines. They say, here, take him. We promise to give him to you. Just leave us alone. So what's Samson do? He goes, finds himself a jawbone of an ass, fresh one, rips its neck out. He's like, I need this here, son. And you know what the word says he does in one day? He kills 1,000 Philistines in one day with the jawbone of an ass. Actually, the word of God says it was a fresh jawbone of an ass. And he just moseys on away again. He kills 1,000. You figure they're watching him. They're watching him. They're watching him. And at any point now, they could say, you know, he's thinking maybe in his mind, you can jump in anytime you want, guys. But he's just killing them, killing them, killing them, killing them, killing them. But you want to know something? They had a corporate spirit of fear. That's what they had. They had a corporate spirit of fear. The entire group of Israel. That same corporate spirit of fear you see hovering over Israel in the record of David and Goliath. Every single man in the army. They may have been in the army, but they were petrified. They were all full of fear. Samson, tremendous man. Israel's 11th judge. The word of God says that he judged Israel for 20 years. These are God's 11 judges that I found in the book of Judges. I told you about the self-appointed judge whose name was Abimelech. He was the son of Gideon by a concubine. And he won support first of the members of his mother's family. Then he murdered the sons of his father, 70 in number, at Ophrah, the family home, on a rock. Jothan was the youngest one to escape. In Judges chapter 3, verse 31, we read that Shamar slew 600 with an ox goad. And then we saw in Judges 4 where the record picks up, and it says that after Ehud is dead, Shamar possibly also could have been a judge. I've read where Abimelech and Shamgar is mentioned as a judge. I don't believe that's the way it works, but just so you have that information. And we saw where chapter 4 picked up and names Ehu. It doesn't name Shamgar. Now I'd like you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 4 briefly. There are other judges mentioned with the specific phrase, he judged Israel, in the Word of God. And one of these is the man Eli. And it says that Eli judged Israel for 40 years. But again, I do not believe that Eli was a godly man. I don't believe that he was God's choice and judge, to be chosen by God to be a judge. There's a lot of biblical evidence that I can give you to support that. He didn't know beans when Samuel went to him to be taught. He confronted Samuel's mother for being drunk. His own children he raised, and they were evil judges, and they took bribes, and they did evil things with women in the temple, or the place of worship. The tabernacle temple wasn't built in. built yet. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 17, it says, the messengers, 4:17, and the messengers answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines. There's been a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. These are men reporting back to Eli after the battle, and these are the two sons of Eli. And it came to pass, verse 18, when they mentioned the ark of God was taken, that he fell off from the seat backwards from the side of the gate. He was at the gate, indicating that it was a position of authority. And his neck broke, and he died, and he was a old man. He was heavy, and he judged Israel for 40 years. So the word says that, but I don't believe that he was an honorable judge. Now, whether or not he was listed, that's, you can figure that out yourself. But the next one I'm going to list for you as Israel's 12th judge, I know absolutely for sure that he was a good man, and that was Samuel. Samuel, of course, you know the record how he was born. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, says, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he made 7:15. 1 Samuel 7:15. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judge over Israel, judges over Israel. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. And that's a sad thing, because Samuel was a good man, and he made his boys judges, and his boys just didn't get it. They just went evil. Then all the elders of Israel, verse 4, gathered themselves together. They came unto Samuel. They said, your sons aren't walking in the word. Make us a king, etc., etc. So, if you start to go here, 120, 160, 200, 245, 251, 258, 268, 276, 296, 296 years. Samuel said 296, right? Is that right? You guys? Then it says he's judged Israel all of his life. If you add in the term of Samson, you'll see that you'll come a little bit short of 300 some years. If you add in the periods of the time that they had rest and the periods that they were under slavery, you'll see that some of the times that they were judged and some of the times they were in slavery coincided with one another. For instance, Samuel, you can see this real clear with. Israel was always under bondage to the Philistines, even during Samson's reign. Why was that? Samson rose up and he got some freedom and he got some blessings and he got even once in a while, but Israel never got behind him. So it was a hit and miss thing with Samson. He would rise up, he would do certain things, etc., etc., but Israel never got behind him. Israel never got. And there it was. And how many times is that the story? You know, Moses had to go back for 40 years. 40 years he was ready to deliver him out of Egypt, and what happened? Who made you a judge or a ruler over us? He was ready. God was ready. The people weren't ready. Many times here, God's ready. The judge is ready. The people weren't ready. Weren't ready. So that is Israel's Groundhog Day. Israel sinned. They were sold into the hands of the Mesopotamians. They cried out to God. So God raised up Othniel to deliver them. Israel went back to sinning again. God sold them into the hands of the Moabites. They cried out to God. God delivered them. by Ehud. Ehud died, Israel sinned again. They went into the hands of the Canaanites. They cried out to God. God raised up a woman, Deborah, and she delivered them. They did evil again. They went into the hands of the Midianites. They cried out to God, and God raised up Gideon. They did evil again. God sold them into the hands of the Amorites. They cried out to God, and Jephthah delivered them. They did evil again. They cried out to God. God sold them into the hands of the Philistines, raised up Samson, and they didn't get behind Samson. And from this record on, you will see that through Samuel's ministry, Saul's ministry, and it takes the ministry of David before they're able to actually rid the land of the Philistines. Because way into when David walks up as a boy, who's Israel afraid to fight? They're still in bondage. And it was because they didn't get behind the man that God chose. You know, when you say whatever, it's one thing, and well, maybe he's a man of God, maybe he's not a man of God. I got that, okay? I understand that. But damn, when a guy's got a couple tons of gates on his back, okay? When he's out there and kills 1,000 Philistines, right? When he does, a lion comes to him and he's like, yeah, when he goes up and gets 30, you got to be either dumber than dumb not to see the power of God's Holy Spirit working in this man, right? Or what else? You got to be under the influence of what? A spirit of fear, a spirit of slumber, a spirit of fear. And like I said, I could see you, well, that's just Nick. I got no problem with that. But damn, let me tell you something. You see me carrying 2 Hummers on my back tomorrow, and I'm still walking, you better start thinking differently, right? And where he carried them to wasn't 3 or 4 feet away. Okay, the hill was 30 miles away. The place where he got to was probably 10. So he carried them a long ways away, the gates. But what makes men and women fear like this? What makes men and women afraid to believe the truth? Spirits do. Spirit of fear. You can hear the truth. You can say, that sounds logical. Yes, but something in your mind is telling you, oh, I don't know. You know, that doubt, that worry, that fear. Yeah, it's black and white. It's black and white. Just say yay and amen, right? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word, your love. Thanks for the lessons that we can learn. And thanks that we can get behind you, Father, and worship you the way you would have us. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Okay, now.